time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And though we are moving gradually into fall, dragged kicking and screaming, I would say, there is still a lot of good summertime entertainment left. But before we get too far in, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that happened last Tuesday, just sort of after the program of a week ago. I was out at Sugar Lake Lodge, and I happened to see a wandering glider. Now, this is a large dragonfly that is quite, I would say, yellowish, orange, maybe gold. Tip of the eyeballs to the tip of the abdomen, they are pretty much this gold color. And if you happen to see one flying by, you will be astonished at this large Darner-sized dragonfly that is quite golden in color and pretty spectacular. I saw one a year ago, and I saw another one this year on the 19th. But what really caught my eye on the 19th, and actually didn't catch my eye, but was brought to my attention, because I have been watching the green darners, and the green darner dragonfly is a large dragonfly, has a bright green abdomen and the tail. I have seen them with sky blue, I've seen them with purple, I've seen them with gray. They are multicolored and very, very interesting. But last Tuesday, one of the naturalists from Sac Zim, a fellow by the name of Nienhaus, and he lives in Duluth, and on that evening, he and his wife were out, and they observed flying along the shores of Lake Superior a migration of dragonflies. And there were sempetrums, that are the meadowhawks, there were wandering gliders, there were green darners, there were other darner species, but a lot of dragonflies. In fact, they did a sort of a, you know, off the cuff or on the back of an envelope bit of computations and counted certain little zones. And by their own estimates, and I trust their numbers because this is an experienced naturalist there, 800,000 dragonflies migrated past the viewer in the few hours of the evening of the 19th. And following that huge migration of dragonflies were, as you might expect, some birds that enjoy dragonflies. And they included kestrels, the American kestrels, and peregrine falcons, oddly enough. And both of those birds are known to eat dragonflies. And of course, a darner is a pretty good meal for either one of those birds. Half a dozen dragonflies would probably fill you up. It'd be like a meal of, I don't know, bluegills or something. Be a nice meal for a person. So the green darners are beginning to migrate, and that last Tuesday was perhaps one of the more prolific migrations of darners that have been reported at least this fall. The other thing that I was curious about, and I hope that some of you will text us and let us know that you have witnessed this, but this is the time of year when the nighthawks migrate, and for some reason I and the nighthawks have just not met. And so I have not seen the nighthawk migration, and it usually happens this week, sometime between the 20th and the 25th, 26th of August is usually the time when I spot nighthawks on the move. So if you've seen nighthawks migrating, let us know. I'd like to have, if you have a date, that would be even better. Location would help too, but all that would be very interesting to see and hear. The other exciting note from this past week, and this also took place last Tuesday, the 19th, was the last day that I saw a male hummingbird. Now, if you are seeing hummingbirds, check them out. The males, of course, have that bright red patch, ruby patch on their throat. It can look black if if the light is not perfect, but if the light is right, it will shine sort of a ruby red, a beautiful color. But I haven't seen a male hummingbird since last Tuesday, and I have looked very closely at all of the hummingbirds around my feeder, and there are lots of them, but they are all females or juveniles, and the adult males seem to have moved on. Again, if you have adult male hummingbirds in your neighborhood, let me know. I'd love to hear from you and get that information. That would be wonderful to have. A couple of weeks ago, last week I mentioned that I had seen the sandhill cranes out in the field near my house with their colt. Well, on Tuesday last week, I saw the sandhill cranes out in the field by my house, and there were two colts. So they had pretty good success. And the trumpeter swans also, I mentioned a week ago that the trumpeter swans had six babies, six cygnets still alive and kicking as of last week. So a pretty good year for both the sandhill cranes and the trumpeter swans around my house. Speaking of young birds, the red-bellied woodpecker juveniles are coming to the feeders. My adult male is bringing two of his offspring to the feeder and showing them how to hack away at the suet. I got a note from Emma Pearson saying that a red-bellied juvenile at her house was in a little standoff with one of the hairy woodpeckers. Apparently, a little argument over who actually got to go to the suet feeder there. So check out your feeders. There's probably a lot of juvenile birds. The rose-breasted grosbeaks, the adult males and females appear to have moved on. All of the rose-breasted grosbeaks that are on my feeder right now are juveniles. And on Saturday or Sunday, one of them hit the window hard. And I came outside, and it was laying there on the ground, kind of blinking and sort of out of it. And I held on to it for a while. It seemed like it was going to be okay. I got it up and put it in a bush, got its feet to grab onto a branch. And it sat there, and I went off and continued working on my projects and came back a little while later, and it flew out of the bush and flew off. And so I was pretty pleased about that. If you have a window crash like that, check the bird out. Sometimes they're just a little stunned. And if you just pick them up and set them on a branch or put them back on the feeder or someplace where they can grab onto something, their concussion will clear and they will recover and fly off with some bit of luck, I guess. So let's see, looking over my list of birds, I think that pretty well covers those guys. The other things that I've been observing, of course, are fall flowers. The asters and goldenrods are definitely in bloom. The goldenrods appear to be mostly, there's a flat-topped goldenrod that is blooming. The gray goldenrod continues to bloom. I believe it is the tall goldenrod, though tall, giant, tall, showy, and Canada goldenrods all look remarkably alike. And the differences are pretty subtle. So let's just go with that group of goldenrods. There's a big, tall group of goldenrods that are in bloom. Among the asters, I have flat-topped asters, northern heart-leafed asters, smooth asters, calico aster, which is a kind of an easy, not easy, but it's it's more readily identifiable because of a couple of features. First of all, the calico aster, sometimes called the goblet aster, has a white flower. If you look at the flowers, they have usually fewer than 15 rays. So somewhere between 9 and 15 of these little rays that stick out from the center of the flower. And if it has that few rays, it is probably the calico aster, the goblet aster. It's just not common for other white asters to have that few petals. Oftentimes they'll have 30 or 50. So check them out. Check out the asters in your yard. You know, it's kind of not important that you know the differences, but if you're a little bit like me and you kind of like to check them out, good idea to just maybe look and see if it's a white aster. Count the little rays coming out of the center. If it's fewer than 15, it's probably the goblet aster. All right. Boneset blooming. Jerusalem artichokes are just budding. They haven't bloomed yet. The cup plant in my yard, thank you, Dick. The cup plant in my yard is in flower and looking quite nice. As you heard earlier this morning, Blake talking about exploding seeds on the jewelweed or spotted touch-me-not. They are still blooming prolifically at my house, and there are lots of seeds. If you want to entertain a child, take them out to the patch of jewelweed near you. Bright orange flower, kind of a trumpet shape. Check the pods, check four pods. You're going to see these half inch to inch long little pods that might be an eighth to, 3/16, well, an eighth of an inch thick. And if you touch them, they will explode and the seeds will fly in all directions, which is their nature, hence the name spotted touch-me-not. Check them out. They're very, very cool. The other thing that's going on out there right now that's kind of neat to look at is the black bindweed, which for most of the year is just this viney plant that grows up over everything. Red stems, small leaves, tiny, tiny, tiny white flowers. But this time of year, the leaves of the black bindweed are turning red and they're becoming quite noticeable. I checked out rose hips, and they are beginning to get red. They are not fully red yet, but they are definitely on their way to being red. I've been asked by a number of people whether they are edible. They are edible. They are not very tasty. They're kind of flat and ordinary, full of seeds, full of vitamin C, so there is that payoff. But as far as flavor, not much. I've eaten them, and I didn't want to go back for seconds. They aren't that good. Northern holly berries, the winter berry, is just beginning to show a blush. Of the 100 or so berries on the bush that I look at, one was not green anymore, but beginning to turn orange. So they are just starting to change. The mountain ash, the native, the wild mountain ash called Sorbus decora, the showy mountain ash, is beginning to show ripe fruit, and it'll only be a few days. And those fruit are prized like the hazelnuts, except that in this case, it isn't the squirrels and chipmunks that are getting them, it's the birds. And I've seen ravens. I once watched ravens pick off entire clusters of these berries, 30 or 40 of these berries in one cluster, and watched a raven pick that whole cluster and fly off with it to enjoy it at its leisure somewhere else. So mountain ash berries are getting ripe, but probably won't be around for very long. They're pretty valuable. Red pine cones were littered on my driveway. The squirrels are cutting the ripe red pine cones, Norway pine cones, off of the Norway red pines, and they will stash those into big piles. And those piles are called middens, and by putting them all together in one pile, they sort of keep the moisture in, and then the seed, the cone doesn't open up and the seeds don't fall out. So the squirrel can get in there and chew off the bracts and eat the seeds. That's happening right now. I checked the tamaracks. The seeds are the cones are open, but peeling back the bracts, I see that the seeds are still present inside the tamarack. And on Crooked Lake, there's a pretty good crop of wild rice this year. And it has to do with water levels. When the lake is low like it is right now, the wild rice really proliferates and it begins to look pretty nice in there. So get out. It's getting to be time. I don't know exactly when the wild rice season opens, but get yourself a license and get out there and gather some rice. You won't be disappointed. Among the butterflies I've seen this past week, white admirals, monarchs, morning cloaks, and thank you, Anne, for pointing out the morning cloak. Sulfur butterflies were puddling this last week. Wet spots in the roads, or maybe a spot where a dog or a coyote or a wolf or somebody has urinated, and these sulfurs are picking up chemicals that they can then use to augment their well-being. Bright yellow butterflies, and on one day last week, there were probably four or five patches that held more than 30 butterflies each. Just these splashes of bright yellow along the edges of Blue Heron Drive. So lots of stuff going on out there. It's a good time of year to be aware of your surroundings and maybe start making yourself, keep a few records for fall. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.
This is National... You can catch Phenology at our website or through a podcast. It's at kaxc.org. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. We did get a number of texts coming in here, John.
Good.
We heard from Dennis. He lives on Long Lake, just south of Eveleth. He said he and his wife saw about 10 to 15 nighthawks the evening of August 24th. They stuck around a while. It was great to see.
Yeah, it is great to see.
We also heard from Ruth from Grand Rapids. She says, thank you, John, for mentioning the fact that the male hummingbirds have left. I was going to ask if anyone was noticing only females and young. Also, my two fox pups are becoming more independent every day from the mother.
It's that time of year. Speaking of that, I forgot to mention it, but I saw a couple of young raccoons dead along the highway, which is probably the outcome for most young raccoons, and a skunk.
Yeah.
The skunk was not dead, but only because I saw it in time to avoid hitting it. But yeah, lots of young animals are leaving their parents right now. And
I think three raccoons on my drive back from Minneapolis yesterday.
Getting pushed off. Mom's had enough. It's time for you to go and find your own life. See ya.
We heard from Peter from Canyon. He says, Nighthawks, Friday afternoon, August 22nd, driving home from St. Paul, heading north on I-35, multiple flocks of nighthawks from about Sandstone north to Cloquet. Must have seen 100 total.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
And we also heard from Lily from Bovee. She said, my partner and I sat on the dock last night and we watched probably six or seven nighthawks move across the sky.
Great. All right. Well, it's not too late, apparently. You can still get a chance to catch a nighthawk or two in migration. Bid them safe journey and tell them that you'll be there to see them in the spring.